Hello, everybody. Welcome to the introductory class to our new series on kina, envy, and jealousy. The reason why I chose this topic for right now is because we are entering the time period of Sfirsa Omer, where the major focus between Pesach and Shavuot is working on interpersonal relationships and improving the way we relate to each other. And as we will mention shortly, specifically during the time of the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which stopped on Lag BaOmer, we focus on honing in on specifically not being jealous of each other. I will get to that more in detail. And therefore, I decided that this is a midah which is worthwhile to approach right now and to relate to the intense emotional feelings that we have sometimes when we are jealous of something that somebody else has. We will deal with different aspects of this midah over the 8-part series. There's an aspect called Sarat Ayin, and another aspect called Kina, another thing called Kinat Sofrim, and we will deal with a lot of the definitions of the various pieces of jealousy. Okay, and how we also will deal with the fact that their sources are often in some kind of self-absorption, egocentricity, sometimes in a certain insecurity where we don't feel good about enough about ourselves, and that's why we're jealous of other people. And we'll also deal with the antidotes, which is more simcha, more being happy with myself, bitachon, trust that Hashem gives me what I need, and avas Yisrael, a love of Jewish people, based in being happy for what other people have instead of being jealous of them. Okay, so that's just a little bit of a quick overview of what we intend to do over the 8 weeks. But let's get into defining the midah. So if we look at the concept of kina, of envy, jealousy, we will see that it is a very, very intense emotion. In fact, the Ramchal in Maseilas Yesharim, Perek Yud Aleph, where he talks about the midah of nekiut, he defines 4 midot, which he says are all very well known. They are as being very problematic midot. Even in the wider world, everybody relates to these as being problematic. And what are they? They are gaiva, kaas, kina, and taiva. Let's translate: pride, anger, envy, and lust. And what does he say about these midot? Kol ela midot ra'ot asheratam nikeret umeforsemet. These are bad qualities that they're problems, their evilness is known to everybody. Ki hinei ra'ot hina ba'atzman, ra'ot betoldotehem. They're problematic on their own, and they're also problematic in what they create, in what comes out of them. Ki kulan chutz mishurat hasechel v'chochma, because they all involve a certain loss of intelligence and loss of good judgment. And you think sometimes about how we get so consumed with jealousy, with something that somebody else has, and there's a certain loss of focus and loss of perspective where I might be a person with a very, very high IQ, but the way I'm feeling right now is very, very emotional and not very logical. And that's what the Maseilas Yesharim is pointing out. It reminds me, when you think about the lack of logic that comes with jealousy, and the fact that it often starts off at a pretty benign place, like somebody has something that I don't have. They weren't trying to make, you know, life difficult for me. And yet I get to a place where I'm so angry at them. This is a certain kind of a loss of sechel. It's like a process where I go from being rational to irrational. And I remember a few years ago, I once heard Rav Matasiero Solomon from Lakewood. I think he was talking about the midah of kina, actually, jealousy, and he said something very interesting. He spoke about a few-part process that takes place when we are triggered to be jealous of somebody. And he brought an example of somebody who gets a new car, and you don't have that car. And he says the very first step is you say, "Wow, that's a nice car." And then step number 2, "I wish I had a car like that." Step number 3, "I deserve a car like that." Step number 4, "That's my car that she took." Step number 5, "Robber, you robbed my car." And, you know, we can all smile as we think about this process, but there's something about moving from the logical to the illogical that at first it was just an observation. I just noticed what a nice car. But then by the time I get to stop five, you're a robber who took my car. And that explains something about the intensity of jealousy and how we get moved to be actually very angry at people who did nothing wrong. And that's the illogical aspect of this midah. So over the 8 weeks, we will deal with this in depth a little bit more, understanding our psychological processes and what Chazal have to tell us about this. But for today, I wanted to get into a very specific angle of this midah. And I think that because the choice of the topic was because of Sefirat HaOmer, it would make sense if we deal in this introductory class with the connection between Sefirat HaOmer and this midah. So I'd like to start with the story of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And the story is brought down by Chazal in two places, in the Gemara on Yevamo Samech Beis and in the Bereshit Rabba Samech Aleph. And it's basically the same story where it talks about the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva had, and that they all died. The difference between the two descriptions is that it gives a different reason for why they died, what they did wrong. The Gemara in Yevamos Samech Beis says, "Kulam metu beperek achad, mipnei shelo nahagu kavod zelaze." They all died around the same time because they didn't treat each other respectfully. They didn't treat each other with kavod. And then the Chazal Bereshit Rabba says that they metu ela shaita inem tsara elu ba'elu. That the reason why they died is because they had, their eyes were tsar, they had narrow eyes towards each other. This concept of tsarat ayin, shaita inem tsara elu ba'elu. And we want to understand, well, what was it that they did wrong? Is it that they didn't show each other respect, or that they had this midah of tsarat ayin? Now, tsarat ayin is in the jealousy family. We're gonna define soon what it means. But is it because they were jealous of each other, or because they didn't treat each other respectfully? Because the two sources are not consistent. And the way we understand this, Rav Chaim Freelander in his Sefer Sifsei Chaim understands this, that really the two midrashim are giving us a cause and an effect. The cause, the internal problem, was Sheita, I named Sar Elu Be'elu. They were jealous of each other, but it's deeper than jealousy. We'll get to that soon. That was the internal process. What was the external manifestation? Shelo nagu kavod zelazeh, that they didn't treat each other respectfully. And we learned that when I have a bad feeling towards somebody, which is an internal process, very often it will get to the place where it will manifest in the way I'm treating this person. And that's what the two sources are trying to tell us. But let's analyze the words. Shaita inehem tsara elu ba'elu. What is this concept of tsarut ayin? What does it mean? And when you look at the word tsarut ayin, tsar ayin, tsar means something narrow. Tsar is also an enemy. Ish tsar v'oyev, an enemy, we say about Haman. Tsara, tsarata, is also the word that the Torah uses for a second wife. When somebody is married to somebody in the time of the Torah, people had two wives, and when the husband would marry a second wife, the second wife would be referred to as a tsara. So what do we see? What's in common with this word, with these words? Something about the word tsarut ayin or tsar ayin means that my perspective on you is as I see you as the enemy. I see you as my competition, as if you were, you know, we both were fighting over the same husband. And I have like a narrow perspective on you. What is that narrow perspective? And so the Sifsei Chaim defines that really the way we explain tsarut ayin is a Yiddish expression which means to not forgive somebody. Something. And it means that like I can't handle the fact that it's good for you. Something about the fact that things are going well for you is really bothering me. And that's what tsarat ayin is. It's like I'm gonna say that I think that the issue is that why is it bothering me so much that things are going well for you? Why does that move me? And I think the implication in the word tsarat ayin is that you and I are in an inverse relationship. Meaning it's like we're on a seesaw, and the fact that you're up right now makes me feel that I'm down. and that's why I'm moved. This is a very specific form of jealousy. It means that the problem is not so much that I want what you have, which could also be part of it, but it's that your success is making me feel not successful. And often we have tsarut ayin with certain people in our lives. You know, some people you could walk around and you could see their successes and you could be happy for them. But there's a specific person who, like, when something good happens to them, you can't help but feeling a little stab. Sometimes it's around a topic that anybody who's successful in that area makes me feel bad about myself. And we'll examine more over the course of the 8 weeks what really triggers us to feel this way about other people. Who do we feel it about? What do we feel it about? But the first thing that we want to understand today is that there's something inverse in my relationship with somebody who I have tsarut ayin towards, meaning I hear good news about them and I feel like I'm down. You know, I left my house, I thought I looked nice today, and then I bump into you and you look beautiful and I feel like I don't look good at all. My vision of myself just went down. Or I heard that you got a very good job and I suddenly feel that I'm not so intelligent. There's something inverse. If you're up, I'm down. And that's the depth of what tsarut ayin is. And this is a midah which, you know, certain people suffer from this a lot, and a lot of people's successes. And other people just have it about one or two people in their life, that those people's successes make them feel bad. But this is what the Makoros and Chazal are telling us, that what happened with the Talmidim, with the students of Rabbi Akiva, is that they were all successful Talmidei Chachamim, and yet they were bothered by each other's successes. They weren't enjoying the fact that their friend was doing so well and growth in Torah. It made them feel bad. And we're going to learn that specifically, you know, this kind of midah of tsarut ayin, of not forgetting somebody, of being in an inverse relationship with somebody, is difficult enough when it's a physical thing that I'm jealous of, like somebody's beauty or somebody's intellect. But when it's about somebody's spiritual accomplishments, that's even worse. And some people, this is what bothers them, the fact that somebody seems to be doing well spiritually, the fact that somebody seems to be successful in motherhood or in being a good wife or in some kind of spiritual goal makes me feel bad about myself, and I can't be happy for this person. So what I'd like to say today is we have to look a little bit deeper. Why is it that I would be in an inverse relationship with somebody? It sounds ridiculous. I mean, my brain is telling me that the fact that she, you know, is doing well in a certain area really shouldn't be affecting the way I am doing, especially if this is not a person who's directly in competition with me. You know, I was walking down the street, I see somebody who I've never seen before, and because they look so good today, I feel I look bad. Why did that push me down on the seesaw? It doesn't make any sense. And here I'd like to get into a little bit of a, maybe like a sociological observation, which could help us understand why we could have this midah tsarut ayin. Why would we think that we're in an inverse relationship? It seems so evil almost to think that you're in an inverse relationship with people, and yet many people do feel this way. So what is this all about? So I wanted to say that there's a very interesting observation about our relationship with other people that I once heard. There are three forms of the way I relate to you. One of them is what we're going to call independence, which means that I'm completely independent of you. You do your thing, I do my thing, I'm a self-made person, I'm not really too connected in any way to anybody else. It's kind of, in a sense, a model that exists in the modern world. You know, the self-made man doesn't have to thank anybody, kind of got there on his own. And yet, from a Torah perspective, that's at best neutral, and at worst, negative, because we believe Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, that all Jewish people are connected to each other. So to say that I'm completely independent of you is not necessarily a Jewish value. So let's talk about the other two ways that we can relate to our relationships with other people. And we're going to talk about what we're going to call negative interdependence and positive interdependence. So we basically have three models. One is independence. I don't need you for anything. Then we have negative interdependence, and then we have positive interdependence. Let's look at these. Negative interdependence. Negative interdependence means that I do need you, but I need you in a negative way, meaning my success is dependent on your failure. This sounds awful. Who would want to be in a negative interdependent relationship where I need you to lose in order for me to win? And yet, and this is the sociological point that we have to understand, we are conditioned from a very young age to be in a negative interdependent relationship with people. And let me explain. Most sports games, for example, is not, let's take a race. A race is not just that everybody who passes the finish line wins, or even that everybody who passes the finish line by a certain time wins, but rather there's one person who's going to outrun the other person, and the person who crosses the finishing line first is the winner. Therefore, if I want to win a race, I need two things. I need to run fast, but I need to want you to not run as fast as me, meaning I need you to slow down. And there's a trace of negative interdependence here. I just don't want to just be fast, but I need you to kind of like get a little cramp in your leg and not run as fast so that I can cross the finishing line before you. So my winning is dependent on outrunning you, meaning needing to be successful myself and needing you to be less successful than me. Let's look at academics. There's a concept in many schools called the valedictory, being a valedictorian. Most schools do not have the valedictory set up that everybody who gets over a 98 average wins and is valedictorian. I actually have heard recently of some schools that are like that, and it's very commendable. But usually there's one valedictorian. And that means, again, that I want to do really, really, really well on my tests. But if I have somebody in the class who's also very talented, I'm kind of hoping that they're going to mess up one question and get a lower grade so that I could be valedictorian. Once again, we see negative interdependence. I need you to not do so well so that I could outshine you. Politics. When it comes to elections, we see how much the PR in elections is about putting down the other party because I need a lot of votes and I need that person to not be so popular and not get that many votes. Once again, negative interdependence. But let's even just look at our homes and our children's schools. Most competitions have one winner. When we have star charts and the person who gets the most stars first wins, or we have a spelling bee or a Parsha quiz and the person who answers the most wins the prize, or we have any kind of behavior modification system where people have to race each other and the person who gets the most wins, there's some concept of negative interdependence here because it's not just that I want to get a lot of points, it's that I need you to get less than me. And then we wonder, why is it that we grow up and when we see somebody's success, we're almost like instinctively charged we're conditioned to see somebody's success as being, uh-oh, I'm not doing so well. And this is an unfortunate result of the way we are trained, is that if there's enough situations in life where your success is going, somebody else's success is going to make you not win, or vice versa, then you're going to get to a point where you're going to see somebody succeed, and it happens to not be threatening your success, it's going to trigger a feeling of, oh no, I'm losing. And unfortunately, this is the situation that many of us are in. Like I said, maybe one of the antidotes to this, well, I want to go a little further, negative interdependence, but I'll just say the third mode of relationships that we said before was positive interdependence. And positive interdependence is the Torah's perspective on our relationships to other people. I do need you, and I need you to succeed in order for me to succeed. My success is not complete unless you're also succeeding. And that's the depth of the Torah perspective of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Not only are we not in an inverse relationship, but the opposite. I could be doing really well, but I cannot be perfect unless you're doing really well as well, because we're all interconnected. And that's the beautiful Torah message on relationships, where not only am I not triggered to be jealous of your success, but I'm actually cheerleading you because you're on my team and I want you to succeed. I'll give you an example of this. The Rosh Hashiva of Eshet Torah, one Rosh Hashanah, you know, on Rosh Hashanah when it comes to blowing the shofar, people are so careful to listen to the brachos very carefully and to make sure that they heard and they're very quiet. Everybody wants to make sure that they don't mess up the halacha of hearing the shofar properly. So one time at the end of davening, the Rosh Hashiva got up and he said, I have bad news for everybody. Nobody here properly fulfilled the mitzvah of listening to the shofar this year. People kind of gasped, and they were very surprised. Was there something wrong with the shofar? What went wrong? And the Rosh Hashiva said very simply, you know, there are other Jews in other places who do not hear shofar this year. They don't know the halachot of shofar, or they're not, you know, they're not keeping it, they're not educated towards it. And therefore, our shofar blowing is not complete, because no mitzvah of mine is complete if other Jews are not also doing this. And that is the essence of positive interdependence. It's not just about my success in any arena, religious, academic, financial, anything. I need you to succeed as well. And here we have a model for behavior which could really filter down to our schools and our homes as well. It's not as easy, but instead of making a plan where whoever cleans their room the fastest is the ones who gets the prize, we make a system in the home where everybody cleans up together and then we all go out and celebrate. Now, the reason why this isn't used so much is because the adrenaline is not pumping as much when it's a group effort. The idea of outrunning somebody is also often what motivates us and gets the adrenaline going. And I think many school teachers will say that when there's this kind of everybody has to work together, you're going to have some people going to work and some people are going to sit in the back and enjoy the fruits of everybody else's labor. So it creates its problems, which is why it's not used so much. But in terms of having healthy attitudes towards other people's success and not getting into this trap of growing up to be a tsar-ayin, to be in adverse relationships and jealous of people, it would be good as much as possible for us to think about how to create positive interdependence and have people work together and celebrate each other's success. I think that this midah, like many other midot, has a homer aspect. It has a God-given amount that some people have. And then it has its surah. It has the way that we work on it. Some people are very competitive by nature. They were born competitive. And some people are synergistic by nature. They enjoy other people's success. And yet, when we are challenged by something, as I said in other vads and other midot, every midah has homer and surah. Homer is the amount that Hashem gave me of this midah. It's a gift, or maybe not a gift if it's a bad midah, but it's inherent, it's inborn, it's part of me without my even working on it. Some people happen to be happier, some people are angrier, some people are more anxiety prone, and some people are more competitive. And then we have the other aspect of midah, which is called surah. And surah is the extent to which I work on a midah. Even if I don't have such great raw materials in that midah, I can work on it to become better in this area. And I'm reminded of a situation that I had when I was younger. I remember when I was in elementary school, and I went to a small Hebrew day school in the New Jersey area. And there was a certain boy in my class, I remember this was the third or fourth grade, who we were always pinned against each other for every competition, whether it was a brachos competition or a spelling bee or the geo elections. We were always pinned against each other. And it could have created a very, very competitive atmosphere, except that there was something about his nature, and he was only a seven-year-old boy, maybe 8 years old, I don't know exactly, but there was something about the nature that didn't allow it to be competitive. And I'm going back many, 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 many years in my memory, but I remember that every time I won the competition, he would come up to me and say to me, congratulations, I really think you deserve to win. I'm so happy that you won. And every time I lost and he won, he would come up to me and say, I'm sorry that you didn't win. I think you also deserve to win. And there was something so special in the homer of a little boy who was just wired to not be competitive, even though he was successful, but not competitive. And I think that when we are wired this way, it's a big gift. But when we're not, we want to work on this midah. Like I said, Tzaraat Ayin is only one aspect of the many aspects of kinah, of jealousy. And I chose it today because of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But we have to realize that society conditions us to be negatively interdependent, and therefore for many people, other people's success is going to trigger a sense of loss or a sense of imperfection, a sense of unhappiness with what I have. What is the antidote to this feeling of tzaraat ayin, of only seeing you? And by the way, what is the narrow aspect of it, the tzar ayin? I only see you through the eyes of how you affect me. And I only see you in that very limited, narrow perspective of your success and how I don't like it. And I can't see the bigger picture of all the good things about you. There are other ways to explain the word tzaraat ayin. Maybe we'll get to it a different time. But I want to give an antidote just to kind of wrap up for today, and we'll continue in our series in many different aspects of this midah. The Gemara in Yoma Lamed Ches says, "Ein Adam Nogea b'muchan chavero afilu kimlo nima," which means a man cannot touch even a hair's breadth of what is set aside for his friend. What's the Gemara trying to tell you? The Gemara is telling you like this. Do you really think that that person is affecting your success? Your success is this direct dialogue between you and Hashem. And the fact that somebody else has something that you don't have, they didn't take it away from you. And they're not going to take it away from you. Because if you're meant to have it, you're going to have it. And if you weren't meant to have it, it has nothing to do with them. Now, this midah, as we're going to learn in the process, is sometimes very challenged when you and somebody are competing for exactly the same position, and there requires a higher level of bitachon to realize that even if they got the position and I didn't, it's not because of them that I didn't. I wouldn't have gotten it anyway. They didn't take it away from me. And that's very difficult when you're in a very direct competition with somebody over something specific. But this relates to that, and of course it relates to the fact that somebody who's more distant than you, who happens to have gotten a good job or a good shidduch or is doing well financially, is not affecting your financial success or your shidduchim or your job. And this is the antidote to tzaraat ayin is going to be bitachon. It's going to be the belief that Hashem gives me everything that I need and that nobody can take it away from me, even if it seems that they are. I'll end with this very specific exercise, too, that I'd like to encourage you to work on, is that part of the aspect of negative interdependence is working off the fact that there's a tangible amount of success to go around, and therefore, if you have a bigger amount of it, by definition, somebody, maybe me, is going to have less. And the mashal that I have for this, if you ever saw children fighting over pizza slices in a pizza store, the pie is finite. It's tangibly finite, and therefore if somebody else got a bigger piece, somebody next to him might get a smaller piece. And if we believe that success in this world is limited, then somebody's success is kind of like they're taking a bigger piece and I'm going to get a smaller piece. And that's this concept of negative interdependence. I really am affected, as if there's almost a limit of good fortune to go around, a limit of good boys to go out with, or a limit of good positions, or a limited sense of money, or success, or good looks, or whatever it is that's bothering me, or religious success. And therefore, I kind of feel that if somebody gets a bigger piece, well, then somebody is going to suffer. The antidote, when the Gemara tells you, Nyoma, Ein Adam Nogea B'Muchan L'Chavero, it means that you have to replace the perspective in your mind, and you have to see that every person has a complete pie of their specific needs. Somebody else having a big slice in a different pie is not affecting my slice within my pie. And the bottom line is that Hashem's ability to give good is infinite, and it's not limited. Somebody else doing well or being successful or getting something good is not limiting my success. And this is really, really the antidote to this midah. I remember one time when a friend got engaged and a bunch of, you know, her friends were dancing for her. Somebody pulled me over to the side and said, you know, I'm having a really hard day. Because this friend of ours got engaged to somebody who is like this known, fantastic boy, very smart, very talented, very good midos, all the good things. She said, it's not that I know the boy she's engaged to. It's not that I even wanted to go out with him. But I can't help but thinking that now there's one less great guy to go around in the world, and that's affecting my pool. And I remember I turned to her and I said to her, you know, You're very honest, because there could be a lot of people here with smiles on their faces who are dancing. They might be thinking the same thing. Maybe some people aren't thinking that. Maybe you're particularly challenged here. But there was something real about feeling that my pool of success is being affected by somebody else taking away a great guy. And this is kind of what happens to us when we have tsarsight, when we have a physical, tangible perspective on the world, as if my faith in who I'm going to end up with is somehow affected by the fact that she got a great guy. It doesn't make any sense. And yet we just said before that the Maseilas Yesharim says that this midah doesn't make sense. It's irrational. And our answer to ourselves is, Ein adam nogea b'mocham chaveru. Nobody is affecting my lot. And I have to kind of keep that in front of me all the time to remind me that other people's success is not affecting mine. I'd like to give you a practical place to think about this, you know, tangible pizza pie and your own pizza pie. When you say in Brachos HaShachar every morning, when we say the morning brachos, there are two brachos that come one after the other. One of them says, Sha'asali kol tzarki, that Hashem made me everything I need. The bracha after that says, Hamechin mitzadei gaver, that Hashem maps out the path of each person. He prepares where the person is supposed to walk to, where they go to in life. Rav Volpe and Ali Shor says that if a person wants to work on appreciating more the fact that he has everything he needs and that Hashem gives him everything he needs and therefore he's not being challenged by other people and what they have, he should focus on these two brachos every single morning. Sha'asali kol tzarki, I have everything I need. It doesn't matter what she has. I have everything I need. And Hamechin mitzadei gaver, everywhere I go in life is exactly where Hashem wanted me to go. And it's not because somebody else affected me and didn't let me go where I wanted to go or didn't let me get what I wanted to get. Rav Volpe says that if a person concentrates on this daily in davening, he can affect his perspective. He could be less affected by negative interdependence. He could be more happy with what he has and really have like a shot of immunization against this kind of jealousy. So that's it for today. Like I said, we will hopefully over the next 8 weeks deal with jealousy in its many different forms, not just tsardayin. There's many different aspects of this, understanding the deeper underpinnings and some practical applications for how to work on this midah. Hopefully by the time we finish the series close to Shavuot's time, we will feel that we've grown over Sirius HaOmer weekly and been able to be in a place where we feel good about other people's successes and we can celebrate other people's successes. That's my goal for this VAD, and to get to the place where really other people's, I'm not jealous of things that people have and have an internal sense of happiness. Okay, we will be in touch, everybody, and good luck with this mission. Take care. Bye-bye.